Good afternoon, and thank you for being here. Ours is a long-term project to study fiber maturity, and as a part of this project, we came across this mutant. It's an isogenic mutant of TM1, and it naturally produces immature fibers. So we went ahead and did a complete phenotypic characterization of these fibers, complete as much as we could, and it's that part of our research that I'm going to present today. Which brings me to my primary research questions. How do multiple fiber traits of Texas marker 1, which is CM1 and IM, compare with each other? And how do fiber traits vary within the plant itself from different fruiting positions within the TM1 plant? Fiber development is characterized by initiation, which is up to 3 days post-anthesis, followed by elongation, where the fiber length is determined, followed by secondary cell wall development. And this is the key step to fiber maturity, because this is where the cellulose deposition occurs on the secondary cell wall, followed by maturation, and the ball opens approximately 65 days post-anthesis. Here's a little thing to show how fiber maturity is in a fiber cross-section. We have the primary cell wall, which is determined initially, followed by the secondary cell wall development, which is nothing but the deposition of cellulose around the secondary cell wall. And this relative amount of this cellulose is what determines fiber maturity, a very important fiber trait. Why is it important? Because it directly or indirectly affects a number of other fiber properties, such as fiber strength. If we have immature fibers, they'll tend to be weak, and they'll break easily, and thereby we've affected our fiber strength. It also affects fiber length, because if it's weak, it's going to break through different processing, such as ginning, harvesting, stripper harvest, or however we do it, blending, and that's going to affect our fiber length. We also affect the overall fiber micronair by reducing it, because micronair basically is nothing but the measure of fineness and maturity together. We also affect the amount of NEPs, which are going to increase. More mature fibers lead to increased amount of NEPs, and NEPs will eventually affect our fabric and show up as white specks. We also affect the dye uptake of the fabric that is eventually produced, and so at the end of the story, what I'm trying to say is immature fibers will give us very poor fabric quality. How do we get immature fibers in regular plant cotton? There's a number of factors that contribute to having immature fibers in our normal plant cotton. Primarily, sometimes we have a full season variety that's growing in a short season. We also have drought or nutrient stress. Sometimes it's regrowth following a late season rain or irrigation. And there's premature application of chemical harvest dates. We just want to open the walls early for a number of other factors. And this is how we end up, these are some of the reasons why we end up having immature fiber in our crop. For this study, we took two different genotypes or Texas marker 1, which is TM1, and IM, the immature, genotype. It's an isogenic mutant, near isogenic mutant of TM1, excuse me. TM1 is characterized by wild type fluffy cotton fiber bowls, and IM has this tight lock bowl pattern. Even after it opens, it's very clear that this is probably a very fine and immature fiber. We had two different kinds of sampling done here. First was the average samples. Average samples was set up with 20 plants. This is all in the field, by the way. We took 20 different plants. They were averaged the same height and size. We took all the fruiting positions, combined all the lint, and roller ginned this, and that's how we got the average samples. And then we took plant mapping samples, where we took individual fruiting positions from the plant itself, 20 different plants. Here's how we did it. This is just a representation of a cotton plant. And the numbers in red represent the branch numbers. So genotype 3-2 would effectively mean TM1 or IM, branch 3, and fruiting position number 2. What we did is we combined all the identical fruiting positions to have sufficient lint to perform fiber analysis. And that's how we went ahead and did the mapping samples. Fiber analysis was performed using the HVI, the APHIS, the Mantis. Mantis is an individual fiber individual strength tester. It does tensile property testing for single fibers. And then we also performed image analysis of fiber cross sections. Image analysis is the reference method to look into fiber maturity. I'm going to start with the data that we have from our average samples. Average samples was all the lint from all the fruiting positions of 20 plants. This is the HBI data, and we have a significant difference between TM1 and IM in all of the parameters except elongation. We had a micron error of 2.0 for the IM. Now, IM, the 2.0 is the lowest that the instrument actually measures. So it could be lower than that, but we can see that it's 2. And we had an overall low mic that year. This is 2006. We had an overall low micron error in Lubbock that year. All of this is grown in Lubbock, Texas. So for TM1, we see the 2.8, and that's what explains it. We did grow this in the greenhouse, and the mic for that was 3.2. The APHIS data had a significant, drastic difference between TM1 and IM. We had a very high proportion of NEPs, which goes in accordance with our maturity, which is also very low in the IM compared to TM1. Our length is also very low, and this is length by number, not length by weight. If you look at the length distribution, we have a very high proportion of short fiber content in the IM fibers. Now, this short fiber content is not because it's probably not because the IM makes short fibers, but it's because it's so immature and it's so weak that we break a lot of fibers during processing, and that's what causes this tremendous proportion of less than 0.5 inches. Let's go back and look at the HBI data and the APHIS data. The HBI gave us an average length of 1.04 inches versus the APHIS, which is 0.59. I just wanted to stop and highlight that not every time does HBI give us the most accurate length. We look at something that has 1.04 and say this is not that bad compared to 0.59. 0.59 is just a tragedy. So I just wanted to go ahead and point that out. We then performed MANTIS, which is individual fiber strength. There was a significant difference in the strength of IM and TM1. IM is very weak, and the elongation is also significantly low. Next, I'm going to present this data is from the individual fruiting positions. I haven't done all the fruiting positions. I'm just showing the fruiting position 1. So it's the first fruiting positions and the first 12 branches of the 20 plants that we took. This is the APHIS maturity ratio. We couldn't perform HBI on this because we didn't have sufficient lint in some of the branches to actually run HBI on it. This is the APHIS maturity ratio, and as we can see, IM has a very poor overall fiber maturity, and in TM1 we have a steady decline in fiber maturity as we progress from branch 1 to branch 12. This is the fruiting, this is the length. Length is also decreasing as we progress from the bottom of the plant to the top in TM1, and what I'm trying to highlight here is that if you look closely at branch in TM1, which is regular plant cotton, towards branch 10, 11, and 12, our fiber quality is almost as bad as how it gets in the IM. So the IM, much drastic as it sounds, and it is, we also have similar fiber quality in TM1 towards the top of the plant. This is the data for NEPs, and we have increasing NEPs in TM1 from the bottom region to the top, which is understandable because we also have decreasing fiber maturity. And the fibers also get finer, and IM is characterized by overall extremely fine fibers. We next have the data from the MANTIS, and we can see that there's a strong drop in fiber strength at branch 11 and 12 in TM1. It's not nearly as bad as what we have low fiber strength, individual fiber strengths for IM, but it's still pretty low, and we do not want something like that. We performed cross-sections of fibers, and I'm going to show some images here. This is the SEM. We took the fiber cross-sections, and we put this image here just to show how good mature fibers from TM1 look like, the kidney bean-shaped ones, versus the IM, which are really mature, thin secondary cell walls. At this point of time, we were beginning to think, is IM completely cellulose deficient? Does it have no cellulose at all? But then we went and magnified this further and found out that we do have a certain amount of secondary cell wall deposition, but it's just really, really immature. This is the image of what we saw on the optical microscope. It was very difficult for us to actually go ahead and calculate and measure the fiber maturity, but we still got data for our theta. Theta decreases from the bottom region to the top in TM1 and is overall very low in IM. And it goes in accordance with our maturity ratio from the APHIS that we have decreasing maturity as we progress from branch 1 to branch 12, so from the bottom to the top of the plant. Our conclusions were that IM genotype is very evident, is characterized by overall very poor fiber quality. fiber quality of TM1 in the upper region is almost equally as bad as the IM is. Excuse me. The greatest genotype and environment interaction is at the top of the plant. Now, how does all of this affect us? This affects different aspects of the cotton industry. For the plant breeders, it's very important that we have, for plant breeders, it's very important that the sampling protocols that we have once the crop is out there in the field is properly designed, because the 50 random balls per field can be biased simply because of the drastic differences that we have in fiber quality from the bottom of the plant to the top. So it's very important that a proper sampling protocol is derived so that we have a representative sample from the crop in the field. Also, selection is very important. Immaturity has tremendous effects on other pertinent fiber quality, so it's important that we don't select for immature lines. For the growers, it's very important to have proper management practices so that we do not have problems related to immaturity coming from product, from management practices. Textile industry should think before we accept low micronair fibers, because this micronair can come from the fineness as well as the maturity, and they should make sure that it's not from the fineness. It should be based from the fineness and not from the immaturity that we accept low micronair cottons. And thank you for listening to me. I'd be welcome to take any questions. The question was, what are we going to do next? There are two aspects to this. There's a group working on, we're looking at IM as a potential mutant to help us figure out how maturity can affect, to identify genes that might be regulated or upregulated during fiber maturation that can give us insight on maturity genes. We're also setting up different crosses right now in the greenhouse to see, from a breeding perspective, to see if we have different kinds of different mic lines coming up with difference in micronair.
Anyone else? Okay, thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
All right. This will conclude this session. What I'd like to do, though, before we go to the break, as I said before, we're asking the poster authors to go ahead and stand with their posters during the break. But before we adjourn for right now, I'd like to go ahead and announce the winners of this year's Cotton Genetics Award. I said this year's award is a little bit different than what it has been in the past. This award is actually going to go to a team of researchers who have made significant contributions to the cotton breeding industry and to the cotton industry as a whole in their efforts in transferring resistance to reniform nematode from wild species into upland cotton. This year's winners of the award are Drs. Al Bell, Forrest Robinson, and David Stelly. Congratulations. These guys would come up. We have a plaque and a little award just to recognize them.
That's the wrong chair.
We'll give it to him.